It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say Worldwide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Do appreciate the assistance. It's just when somebody brings a stat to the show, I want to know where it came from. It's apparently came from Al Karsten.
I found this from Next Gen Stats.
Okay.
And it lists the top three quarterbacks. Well, it has all the quarterbacks listed for time to throw. It's that Justin Fields was number one, 3.53. Then Jalen Hurts, 3.17. Then Jared Goff at 3.09.
It certainly does help to know where it came from. Interesting. He also ranked third last year in time to throw. So what does that mean?
I wonder does it change at all? Like if it literally is the time that the ball is snapped to, and then the time that you throw the ball. If you're under duress, are you adding to that time because you're scrambling to try to buy more time?
I don't know.
Because he was pressured a ton.
I think you literally are talking about to the time the ball leaves your hand.
Yeah.
And he's not going to create a lot of extra time.
No, but if he's forced out of the pocket earlier, like, I don't know. It sounds like we're making excuses for it, but if you think Jared Goff had time to throw, I guess I would go ahead.
I would disagree, but...
Yeah, I mean, but based on this number, it says he was third in the league with time to throw. It didn't look that way.
Well, and the other thing is, and that's one of the reasons why I asked him, here's one thing that they did look like. It did look like they had problems pushing the ball downfield. And he said that was a point of emphasis with their defense. And dinking and dunking all the way down the field can be fine, unless you're behind and you need to do things in a bit of a hurry. I mean, there is something to be said for taking what the defense gives you, but if the defense was giving you the underneath stuff and really taking away anything deep, because there weren't a lot of deep shots. 248-539-9797. Wait a sec. Who had the most time?
Justin Fields.
Where's Jordan Love rank on this list? Who's only pressured 8 times the whole game?
Jordan Love was 2.84. It's probably, it looks like 11th or so. But he was delivering the ball early and on time.
Would anyone think that Jared Goff had more time to throw than Jordan Love in that game?
No. I'm telling you, part of it is because if the pass rush is coming in on you, you got to take off and run and move quickly. Plus, everything he did was a check down, basically. Mm-hmm. So you're looking option one out there, option two not. I got to throw here.
Interesting. I'd like to know more about the methodology, but that Kang, would you buy that Goff had more time to throw than Jordan Love?
In games I've watched,
no. Right?
But I mean, I don't know what they use for their formula. Is this almost like a PFF thing? You know, like you said, Gator. How do we?
Next gen stats.
Yeah, like when you run around for like when Lamar Jackson is running for his life Sunday night, right? Does that all count as time to throw because he was able to make all that extra time before he released the ball? There was a point where he was 19 yards behind the line of scrimmage. He didn't end up throwing it. He ended up rushing it, but that play took forever.
He was 2.7, which was farther down, almost like bottom third, the start of bottom third.
All right, let's move on. Let's go to Joe and Flint. Hi, Joe.
Hi, just a quick question, and I know that this is kind of an old example, but the statistic on making the playoffs at 0-2 is an old statistic. Are the 93 Cowboys went 0-2 and won the Super Bowl. Are our Lions as good as that team, better, or not as good?
I don't know if I want to compare teams that are 30 years apart from each other.
Yeah,
the game has completely changed.
I mean, I think the Lions are a really, really good football team. Had a terrible game, but that
Troy Aikman wasn't throwing for 4,000 yards.
Yeah,
Troy
different
Aikman
styles
was
of football.
3,000 yards.
Anyway, the point is what?
I'm just looking for some silver lining here that even if we go 0-2, we can still come back and get in the playoffs and win.
Well, they can.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I need precedent to believe that. I mean, do you believe it, Joe?
Yeah, I really don't put a lot of credence in one loss or two losses. Teams get hot, other teams get cold.
It's happened three times in the history of the game, according to a quick Google search. Dallas in 93, New England in 2001, and the Giants in 2007. Last year, the Philadelphia Eagles were 2-2, and they won the Super Bowl. I mean, you don't want to get off to a slow start. But look, hold on. Do you think the Lions are going to beat the Bears Sunday?
I do.
I do, too.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I do, too. I mean, we can talk about what happens if they lose.
I'd rather talk about it after it happens.
Yeah.
If it happens.
Robert on a cell. You're on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Robert.
Good afternoon, guys. I love the show. Thank you. Just wanted to say the whole mobile quarterback thing is it's so frustrating. And then, like you said, like if you say Goff can't win it, so Goff against the field. Yeah, anybody would bet on that, right? But I will say
it's a very safe position to have.
Very safe position. And I would just look at like some recent examples, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, if you want to go back a little further, Steve McNair, Randall Cunningham, Michael Vick. Last time I checked, they do not have a Super Bowl title on their trophy case. And so is Goff a dying breed? I think probably without a doubt. And a lot of that is predicated on you can only coach and develop what the college game gives you. And I think the college game, more so than ever, is a mobile quarterback-oriented offense. If I could just say one other thing, too, is as far as the trick plays and creativity, none of that's going to work if Ratledge pivots to the left and a guy comes right up the gut. Like, and I don't believe the whole time-to-throw thing. Like, especially, like, yeah, time-to-throw, but do you have a clean pocket? Like, and I don't think Goff had a clean pocket primarily most of the day, so he was having to do the check down. And when they got to the red zone, because the O-line couldn't impose their will upon them, they came up empty in the red zone. I think it's really as simple as the O-line not being able to do anything.
I think you're right. I think we spent way too much time worrying about this one statistic after 1 week of football. I mean, what does the eyeball test tell you? The eyeball test tells you that the offensive line wasn't good enough to protect the quarterback, to allow for guys to get open downfield. The eyeball test also tells you the defense that they were running. If they were running too high safeties, that's going to take away a lot of the deep stuff. So then you got to go to shorter intermediate. And that pocket was not clean. He was pressured. It felt like on half of his throws, he was pressured.
And it was a great game plan because they were like, all right, you got a new interior line here. You're on the road. Let's not forget that loud crowd. And they're yelling out signals, like Campbell has said, trying to get on the same page. If they play too high safety, forcing them to dink and duck, you know, it was a brilliant game plan by Green Bay. I don't want to overreact to one game, but I will say this: Hank Fraley's got his work cut out for them.
Agree.
Thank God, Sunday's at home.
Yeah. Oh well, the communication that Dan Campbell talked about should be a lot easier with a home crowd. I just looked over at YouTube. Kyle just posted, I think we start 2-5 headed to the bye. Best case at this point. Likely 1-6.
Sure hope not.
One and a half wins. I'll take the over for $50, Kyle. I'll take the over on 1.5 wins in the first 7 games. I mean, do you really mean that? Do you really mean it? You take the under on 1.5 wins through 7 games? And you say you think they'll likely go 1-6? I mean, it's bold. But you're taking the under on 1.5 wins. Okay, 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson. Look, there's lots that needs to get better. Had a conversation with Jared Goff. You'll hear what he had to say today at 1:30, including John Morton. What is it? Is there growing pains to be expected with John Morton? Play calling? Is play calling the issue? is John Morton not being on the field, but being in the press box and calling the game from above. Is that the issue? To some of what we covered with Jared Goff, 248-539-9797. Are you going to eat that?
It's Boomer and Geo, mornings on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we've essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up today at 1:20 here on 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. So George Kittle, according to all the NFL beat reporters, is going on the injured reserve, meaning he'll miss the next four games in San Francisco for the 49ers, which is a blow for them. They also, is it true that, I'm making sure I'm seeing this correct. Well, let me wait for confirmation on the second part of this. We saw the Lions get just absolutely shredded with injuries last year, and they need kind of hoping that they are stable for the most part, injury free. They've already had some guys get hurt, which sucks. But anyway, so also, okay, here it is. The 49ers have released kicker Jake Moody. He struggled there. I got to tell you, it's so much a game of confidence with kickers. And when it gets rattled a little bit, the pressure gets ramped up, and then it can unravel quickly, and it looks like it has with Jake Moody. 248-539-9797. For those that play fantasy football, two things to point out. Chris is in Novi and on 97.1. Hi, Chris.
Good afternoon, guys.
What's up?
Yeah. Well, I was actually going to play on the Happy Boy by the Beet Farmers in the background, but I figured I wouldn't do that. I called a bit ago on that. I just got an opinion on the offensive coordinator. Number one, the difference between being in the booth and on the field. I'm thinking on the field, you know, you get guys coming off of a play, can walk up to the coordinator and say, you know, number so-and-so, the linebacker or whatever, keeps pulling this way when we go that way, so we need to make an adjustment. If he's up in the booth, you got to grab a headset to tell them that. So there's a lot of information coming off that field, I think, that is not getting up to the offensive coordinator that he can't take advantage of.
Wouldn't they call it, tell their position coach?
Well, it's got to go through two or three different people to get the offensive coordinator. You know, how many times last year, if you were watching a game, you'd see guys coming off the field and going up to I can't remember his name now, the offensive coordinator last year.
Ben Johnson.
And, yeah, Johnson, and drop a line at him and just say something to him as they're walking past him.
This well, way they certainly, have to relay when you it. Have, there's a certain number of coaches that are on the sideline, a certain number of coaches that are upstairs. If Ben Johnson or if John Morton is upstairs, that means somebody else is down on the field who I would imagine they can all just relay the information to him.
Yeah, you look at a delay, though. You relay to one person, then to another person, and then you got to go back the other way. The coordinators got to talk to the person on the field.
Did you hear Goff this morning?
I listened to quite a bit of it, yeah.
Okay, did you hear what he said?
Remind me.
It's foolish.
Well, I've been accused of that in the past. So it wouldn't be the first time, guys. And it just fires the play calling. You know, if running into the line 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 times and you get dropped at the line or behind the line, you would think you would make adjustments to work around that, to play around that in some way. But it just seemed like there was no imagination to the plays that were being called. It was the same thing over and over again almost. And I know a lot of that's a function of how the defense was playing them and the problems they have with the offensive line. But you think you could work around that in some way.
They tried to get the ball to the edges on quite a few occasions, whether it be a quick pass, they got it to Gibbs on the edge on a run play or two. It didn't work either.
There just was no space.
No. I mean, Green Bay played a great game defensively. I give them a ton of credit. They had a good game plan. in the end, you know, they got to do a better job up front. I'm kind of wondering, listen to Dan Campbell, it made me think that, is it possible he's not thrilled with the running backs in that first game?
He's not happy with the 2.1 per carry for sure, because he brought that up.
Yep.
I think he's not happy because he knows everything starts with what happens up front.
Yeah.
And that's where the frustration comes in. If they're not doing their job, nothing works. And that's just basic football. Same thing works on the defensive side. If your defensive line isn't getting the job done, if they're not stopping the run, then you're screwed. If you're not getting any pressure on the quarterback, you're screwed. Lions are able to stop the run, but they couldn't get any pressure on the quarterback.
Gator, are you ready for another edition of Are You Gonna Eat That?
I am, because I'm hungry today.
All right, good. Let's get to it. All right, we got a couple of new items from Little Caesars. They've launched two new cheesesteak flavored menu items.
Little Caesars?
Yeah.
Cheesesteak or cheesesteak, huh?
Cheesesteak.
Or cheesecake, did you? Is that what you were thinking?
No, it's cheesesteak. Cheesesteak crazy puffs and a cheesesteak pizza. The cheesesteak crazy puffs are four crazy puffs filled with sliced steak, melted cheese, and onions topped with Parmesan. They cost $3.99, and they're available from 4 to 8. The cheesesteak pizza is a large pizza topped with cheesy white sauce, mozzarella steak, onions, green peppers, and mushrooms. That's available only online. Gator, the cheesesteak crazy puffs and the ultimate cheesesteak pizza. You going to eat either of those?
Absolutely. I would eat both of those. The only thing I would delete is the mushrooms. I don't like mushrooms.
Yeah, he hates fungi.
Thank you.
You're a fun guy.
I am a fun guy.
But you don't like fun guy.
The puffs sound delicious.
Have you had the regular puffs?
No, I hear they're great.
They're fantastic. So yeah. I just thought that, you know, they're regular puffs, whatever, you know, some form of small calzone or something. Right. You know, it's pizza sauce and pepperoni cheese. They're actually better than expected. Much better. And I'll definitely try both of these as well.
Okay. I'm out on both, obviously, because I don't
eat steak. That's the mushroom? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's the mushroom.
Yeah.
Let me circle back, though, Kang. I want to ask you a question. The ultimate cheesesteak pizza that he says yes to.
Yeah.
Available only online.
Oh.
Gator, are you sure you're going to eat that?
Yeah. I order pizza online all the time. It's how you have to, it's kind of how you have to order it now.
Yeah, Doug.
I just don't necessarily download an app to do it, but I.
Yeah, I guess if it were only available on the app, would you do it?
If I had to. You know, if that's the world.
When was the last time you added an app to your phone? Was that like MySpace or something?
Take a look. Oh, that's funny. I will tell you, the last time I added it was, I added Waze, and that was when I went to Chicago.
Nice. All right. That's new, right?
So that was what, like
deleted your
2-3 months ago?
MapQuest and then got that one?
Okay. About 2 months, maybe a month and a half ago.
Okay. Prior to that?
2 months ago. There was some for my pond that I don't remember when that was added.
Pond app.
That's nice.
Yeah, there's it's not working well. The other one would have been for my car. So I can do stuff with my car.
Well, that's a big one.
That was back in March, end of March.
All right, next up on Are You Gonna Eat That? Tyson is kicking off the NFL season with team logo shaped nuggets. That's right. You can get all white meat chicken nuggets. Special touches to celebrate each team logo shaped nuggets. Be available exclusively in stadiums and regional retailers. The teams that are available are Denver, Green Bay, and Philadelphia. Gator, the team-shaped nuggets. Are you going to eat that?
First of all, you know I like chicken nuggets.
Yep.
But this is the strangest thing ever. Like nuggets should just be in one shape, and it's like
nugget shape,
amoeba shape, right? Yep. You don't nugget. Know what you're getting. It should be shaped like a nugget. The fact that they're going to try the only thing that makes you want to do this. Because I'm dying to see how much it resembles the logo, because I'm guessing it doesn't resemble the logo at all. Like what you're going to see in a picture that they're going to present, hey, get the new NFL-themed nuggets compared to what you're actually opening up on the tray and putting in the air fryer, and then you pull them out. They're like, what the hell is that? That's an eagle? That's a Packer? But no, my answer is no. I don't want.
No, you don't want the Broncos nuggets?
No, I do not want the Broncos nuggets.
No Packer nuggets?
I don't want any Packer nuggets.
How about the birds? You want bird nuggets?
What, eagle nuggets?
I don't want eagle nuggets. No nuggets.
You love the term nuggets.
I do love the term nuggets. It makes me laugh. But no, this sounds like it's just too strange.
Okay. I mean, it's just nuggets, right?
That's all it is.
I mean, yeah, I'm a sauce guy, so it depends on the sauce, maybe.
Okay. So you do it. Yeah, I'm not eating these.
Whoa, stupid, this is something you can get involved with.
Stupid Packer, Eagle, and Bronco logos.
It's one thing if you're, like we said, like the nugget, you've got this, whatever the process of the chicken is that gets you into a nugget form. It's another thing when you're manipulating that specifically to look like a logo or whatever. Absolutely not.
All right, next up, Butterfingers just dropped the new limited edition candy.
Yep. Butterfinger, yeah.
Butterfinger kale.
Yeah, I'll try it.
No, it's Butterfinger marshmallow have arrived. The marshmallow flavor definitely comes through, according to people who've reviewed it. They're rolling out nationwide, available anywhere. Butterfingers are sold. It doesn't really have much of a description other than there is now marshmallow.
I got to tell you, I'm worried.
The Butterfinger.
I'm worried that I said yes too quickly on that when I heard Butterfinger. Because marshmallow is one of those things that makes me go,
Here we go. Here's a description. The inside is that classic flaky crisp center, but instead of being wrapped in rich chocolate, it's covered in a smooth marshmallow-flavored coating.
Okay, flavored coat. I like the flavor of marshmallows. I like the texture of marshmallows, except for Rice Krispie Treats. I'd try this. Absolutely.
Gator's a yes. Kang, you?
Yeah, I'm in. I like marshmallows. I like Butterfingers. This sounds good.
Butterfingers are great.
When it comes to Butterfingers are great. I will admit that they are great. And if I decide that I'm gonna like go get a candy bar, this doesn't sound more enticing to me than a regular Butterfinger. And is it another weird Doug Food take that I'm not a big fan of marshmallow?
No, I don't think so. I'm not a big fan of marshmallow.
All right, gotcha.
So if it's not weird for me, it's not weird for you. I will tell you this. I tried something the other day that I think is, outside of the normal Oreo cookie, is the greatest Oreo variation they've ever had. It is the apple pie a la mode Oreo. So it's the golden Oreos, but that's the vanilla part of the apple pie a la mode. The flavoring in between, the cream. You swear you're having apple pie. It is unbelievably great.
Okay, Zaxby's is introducing a milkshake here, a strawberry Nerds milkshake. Features creamy strawberry milkshake spun with crunchy pieces of the classic Nerds candy before being topped off with the iconic gummy clusters.
Nope, absolutely not.
Gator, are you going to eat that?
Nope. I don't... Like you, I'm not the biggest strawberry fan. Strawberry
I
flavored
like
fan.
Strawberry flavored fan. I think strawberry flavored things suck.
Yeah, it always reminds me of Pepto because the way it's going to look. I don't like Nerds, and I really don't like gummy stuff. So, okay. No.
Kang, you?
Yeah, I'm going to try it. I actually, unlike you guys, I love strawberry flavored stuff. I like Nerds a lot. The only issue is I don't really do a ton of milkshakes. It's pretty heavy, you know, so it's not... I don't even remember the last time I had a milkshake, to be honest with you, but if given to me in front of me right here, is that Kang, try this, I would.
There it is, and I'm out on this, yeah. That concludes another edition of Are You Gonna Eat That? Jared Goff, is the problem the play calling? Is the problem that the coordinator's in the box? Is the problem the new coordinator at all? Hear what he had to say next, 97.1 The Ticket. Akarsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Champ and Chump are posted on our website. Go check it out at 971theticket.com. Thank you for all your phone calls today. We've appreciated through the show. A couple things here. So the Bears apparently have pulled the plug completely on a downtown stadium and are committed to moving into, is it a dome or a retractable dome in Arlington Heights?
They would build a dome stadium. That's what the plans are now. Okay. Apparently there's too much politics going on and everything else with trying to build a new stadium on the waterfront over by a pier, which is really unfortunate because I know you love artist renderings and so do I. The renderings for this stadium, it would have been a dome built by the water. The renderings are amazing. One end of the, I think it's the north end of the stadium, would be all glass, and they had a shot of it from inside the stadium looking out, and it was the Chicago skyline in the back. It's amazing, right? Because, you know, downtown Chicago is fantastic with all the high rises and everything
whatever.
Else. No, it is. I can admit
it. Like humping Chicago.
I just don't like the traffic that happens there, and, you know, whatever. But it looked great. It looked great, and they're going to have to abandon that, and they'll go to their other plan, which is in the suburbs, which is Arlington Heights.
So I looked up where Arlington Heights is because I'm not from that area, nor do I give two F's about that area. Oh, but it is a hike. Like that, when I'm driving through Chicago and you kind of go through downtown and you get out to O'Hare, I mean, maybe it shouldn't be a hike, but it's like traffic is never good. It's like go to O'Hare and then keep going.
Was it? It's northwest, right?
Yes. I mean, this is their Pontiac. This is their Pontiac Silverdome, and I mean, I guess if you're a Bears fan, is it central to? This is one of those deals where it's going to be great for people who live out that direction, the way it was great for people who lived out near the Silverdome or the Palace.
And not so much for those that live downtown.
Yeah, and not so much for those that live in other directional suburbs. In this case, it would be like south or east or north. I mean, it's more north, but I think this is a terrible location. But what the hell do I know about Chicago and its geography? That looks brutal to me. There is also breaking news, according to Ari Mariv, who is like a business reporter, I believe, and covers the NFL. The Broncos have selected Burnham Yard in downtown Denver as a site for a new world-class retractable roof stadium. It will be privately funded by ownership, no new taxes, and slated to open for the 2031 season.
Well, that's novel.
No, privately funded?
Privately funded? That's totally novel. Yep. Look at that.
You talk about a team that is then there and moving forward committed to a city.
Yep. That they are. Retractable roof, I get that. Makes sense. I'm always curious, though, when they didn't do the retractable roof, because I think retractable roof is the way to go. To me, the only reason to close it is if it's bitterly cold or if there's rain. If you want to close it because of snow, fine, fair enough. But when the cities that are used to it, like a city like Chicago or a city like Denver that's used to playing outdoors, if you're going to switch up to go the retractable route, and Chicago's place are going dome. I understand that, but do you think the fans want that? Do you think the fans like to be?
I think fans of outdoor stadiums love their outdoor stadium. I'm stunned that you wouldn't have it close for snow. You hate when snow impacts games.
Yeah, well, it depends on the snow, I guess. You know, if it's just a flake or two, it doesn't bother me. But again, it depends. It's there's a lot of factors that go into it. But I don't live in Denver, and I know those people they love their snow.
That's more of a downtown site, what Denver's looking to do. I don't think it's that far from their current stadium. In fact, it might be more downtown than their current stadium, which is a little south, I believe. Maybe I'm wrong on that. All right, Ed in Clarkston, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Ed?
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
It's good, Ed.
Like a winning Sunday from an absolutely awful game was the fact that they were awful in.
Okay, Ed, we're losing you. You're breaking up quite a bit. What did you say?
I said the one thing that I took away as a positive, actually, in Sunday's game is they were really bad in all aspects of the game, which leads me to believe lack of preparation, nerves, they weren't ready to play that game, which is a good thing because in the past, Dan Campbell's been able to get them prepared after a real terrible game. So
I would say this. I think that they were, I don't think they were as prepared as Green Bay. I think that's clear. They weren't ready to play. And I think that falls on Dan Campbell. And I think he would take that criticism. I would push back on this. I thought the Lions played well defensively against the run throughout the game. And I thought that the defense stepped up in the second half of that game. I mean, they only gave up 93 yards in offense in the second half of that game. And they got a bunch of three and outs. The second half was way better than the first half. But offensively, the Lions just weren't there.
Yeah, I kind of chalked that up to the offensive line. A couple of young guys out there that they're probably pretty nervous for their first start. Well, missed assignments.
Hey, we're short on time here, Ed. I'll just say this regarding your call. I don't believe that they were more prepared. I think they were better prepared. I think their game plan was better than Detroit's game plan. And if you're going to look at something that is, when you get taken behind the woodshed like they did, I think your pride gets challenged. You get called out. There's no sugarcoating what happened. And I think that kind of puts them on the Russian front. I think it's how do they respond? I think, you know, this doesn't feel like a normal loss. This feels like it's being interpreted by some as a referendum loss. And, you know, and in many ways I could see why. I don't, you know, again, short-term results, long-term conclusions, but at the end of the day, you get beat like that, you look in the mirror.
You have to.
And there's no reason, like, you can feel, you don't have almost anything to feel good about. So you got to come up with something. You got to figure out how to make it better. There's a sense of urgency this week. That's for damn sure. Here's Rico Beard, who joins us in studio. What's up, Rico?
Lions. Talking about Lions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always try to guess what you guys are talking
about. Well, that should be. I would think that would be.
Well, no, I'm like, okay, it's got to be Lions. Can't be Michigan because you're playing Central Michigan. So yeah. That's a homecoming game.
That's a it's a get-right game, and they better. What do you guys got planned coming up next?
We're going to talk a little bit about Dan Campbell's comments that he had on the morning show, something that he said, and probably going to try to get into Michigan as well. Doug, you were there at the game, and and I know a lot of people just kind of want, hey, you know, take the reins off and just let Bryce Underwood be Bryce. And I think that could probably happen, but I think it'll come at a cost that I don't know if Michigan fans would be ready for.
I think it has to happen at some point.
I think it does. But Doug, by doing this in Gator, you witnessed it last year in Nebraska. You throw a freshman quarterback out there or a new quarterback, they're going to make a ton of mistakes. They're going to lose you games that you probably thought you were going to win. But on the other side, they're so much better that next year. It may mean that you sacrifice this year in order to look to your future.
Yeah, they might get to a point this year where they're like, the hell out of the playoff hunt.
Right.
But there's only so much you can do with a true freshman.
Right, unless
you
just
can do effectively.
Right, because it's like you look at Dante Moore, UCLA. Oh my goodness, he threw more pick sixes than touchdowns. Now he may be having a seat in New York.
Yeah, you're talking about the quarterbacks that did it as true freshmen. The greatest example is Trevor Lawrence with NFL talent all around him.
Yeah.
So, hey, have a great show. Stay safe, everyone, and treat each other with respect. 97.1.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say Worldwide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.